Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I've been wondering lately just how well I know Kanye West. I mean, no, personally, I don't know Kanye West at all. But personally isn't really how I know him. I know Kanye as the genius artist, producer, and rapper who created some of the best albums in the history of his genre and maybe any. And I know him as the guy who did all that while taking a long journey from this.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
To this.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
To this.
I just love Trump. That's my boy.
And finally, last week, this.
Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people.
So along that journey, I learned a lot about Kanye's mental health, mostly by hearing Kanye talk about his mental health. And I heard other people talk about Kanye's mental health and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it.
Kanye West's bizarre behavior and two recent Twitter rants.
Yeah, Kanye is one of those people that if you want him to do something, you have to tell him the opposite of what it is you want him to do.
So I'm going to tell him not to eat poop so that he will eat it.
He might.
So no, I don't know Kanye at all. But yeah, by now I feel like I do. And so I have also felt comfortable talking about Kanye's mental health publicly and speculating on the state of it. And Kanye West is an adult, a celebrity, an extremely public figure. So yeah, you can certainly feel that it's fair to speculate on his mental health. I mean, he does it too, publicly. But it's how we have those conversations and what they do to people who are listening to them while battling their own mental health challenges that we need to think about. Because look, there is only one Kanye, but far more people than you know are fighting the same fight that he is, and they're listening to how we talk about him. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Stacey Lee Kong is a writer and an editor at large, but more importantly for this conversation, she is the author of Friday Things, a newsletter about pop culture, celebrity, and a whole lot of other stuff, right, Stacey?
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about what really matters when we talk about celebrities today, and why don't, just so the people who don't live in the celebrity news cycle can get caught up before we start, can you kind of take us as factually as possible through the last month in the world of Kanye West?
Yeah. So actually, I'm going to go a little bit past the month, just because what we know about Kanye is that he has said that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. There are multiple types of bipolar disorder. We don't know what type specifically. He hasn't gone into that kind of detail. We know that he talked about it first in his 2018 album, Yay. Then later that year, he told President Trump that he had actually been misdiagnosed. And then last year, his wife, Kim Kardashian West, spoke to Vogue magazine and said, actually, he has kind of accepted that diagnosis. So that's the backstory where we have been told by Kanye that he has had some sort of mental health challenges in his life. Then in the past month, probably even if you haven't been in any way embedded in celebrity culture, you've heard that Kanye decided he was going to run for president.
Yes.
So he spoke about this in the past. He did sort of say he was going to run for president. And then we didn't hear anything about it. And part of Kanye's, I think, charm and challenge for people is that he says really bombastic things all the time. So we didn't necessarily take that seriously, I think. But then this past month, he said that this is what he's really going to do. He started holding campaign rallies. He started garnering signatures to be able to get on the ballot in particular states. And at the same time, he started doing these sort of late night Twitter threads where he would be saying a lot of things that seemed a little erratic. So he talked about wanting to divorce Kim Kardashian. He talked about saying that certain people refused to speak to him. So there's another rapper, Lil Baby, who he said, you know, I wanted to work with you and you never responded to me. And there's all sorts of kind of accusations. And it became clear that something was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, I think, that past context that we had around his mental health, it became very easy then for people to speculate about what wasn't right.
And we're going to talk about how we talk about Kanye West and other celebrities when this kind of thing comes up. But first, personally, what was your reaction to his run and reading those late night Twitter threads? Like, how did it make you feel?
You know, it made me feel two kind of conflicting things. So the first is, as a fan of Kanye's music and someone who has defended Kanye a lot in the past, it made me feel really sad because I think that he's probably experiencing a really difficult time right now. And it sounds like it might be a scary time for him. And so it made me really sad to see this person who I think is a genius struggling in this way.
Right.
The other part of me, though, was really mad because he was saying things that were quite offensive, wrong. The big one was he made this statement at a campaign rally about how Harriet Tubman did not actually free the slaves. She just made them work for other white people.
Well, Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people.
Y'all, we
and it was like, that is not just misogyny. It's also anti-blackness. It's also sexist. It just was this horrible thing. And Kanye says horrible things about Black women on a fairly consistent basis. So this isn't new, but it made me really angry to see it again.
And what was the collective reaction in the world that really does care about celebrities obsessively? Like, how do they react to this kind of stuff from Kanye?
So I think people reacted in an understandable way, but still maybe not the right way, where there was a lot of speculation, what his mental health was, what was happening with him. I think actually one of the things that I was worried about when this story first started unfolding was, are people going to mistake Kanye's problematic statements, his racism and sexism, as symptoms or part of his mental health? And I actually think a lot of people did a good job of separating them, but there was still a lot of language used that I found problematic. So,
like what?
Words like crazy or unhinged, or even actually a word like erratic, which I realize I just used. But and it's hard for us to unlearn that type of language. But calling someone crazy is hurtful and it's ableist. And I saw it everywhere on social media.
What does knowing, and I shouldn't say we know, but what does having an idea from the man himself about his mental health condition and about his diagnosis do to how we react to some of the stuff he does publicly?
So I think it makes it easier to speculate. I think having the context of knowing that he has a diagnosis makes it easier, I think, and almost more acceptable for people to say, oh, well, this must be because of this.
Yeah, it's a flare up.
Yeah. But the problem with that is we don't know. It's hard to sort of separate out all what's happening. We don't have any inside information. And even any information we do have, we don't know how accurate it is. Like, we don't know how accurate what Kanye is saying is. Like, and that I don't think that's even about whether he's like able to tell the truth. Like, he just may not be telling the truth. He may just be like, oh no, you know, I want to say this thing and I'm just going to say this thing. Like, we have no idea. And that, I think, is separate from mental health. That to me is about celebrity. Like, we know that celebrities are shaping their, in fact, actually maybe a better example of that is not Kanye, but Kim. So we know that the Kardashians in particular are very good at shaping the public perception of them. They're very good at spin.
Sure.
They construct narratives. They're very good at it. That's why they have so much money. It's a skill. But that means that it's difficult for people to kind of tease out what's accurate and what's not. And that, I think, opens up mm-hmm. room for speculation as well.
Where does this behavior, and by this behavior, I mean ours, when we like to speculate about it and discuss it and try to analyze these people who we kind of act like we know, even though we obviously have no idea. Like, what's the root of that?
Well, because we do think we know them.
And where does that come from? Because you talked in your newsletter about parasocial relationships.
Yes. So this is a thing that is a new idea for me, and I'm fascinated by it. So a parasocial relationship is this idea that we, as an audience, we are interacting with people mediated through social media or TV or whatever. So they don't know us, but we feel that we know them. Like, we feel like we have a real relationship. And that's, I think, at the base of fandom, is we see somebody who we identify with. We're fans of their talent, but also there's something about them personally that resonates with us. And that makes us feel enabled and empowered to speak about and think about, which I think is actually the more important part, these people who we don't actually have any sort of relationship with as if we do. So, and I do this, we all do this. So I love Rihanna. I'm a huge fan of Rihanna. And I, you know, a lot of her fans will refer to her as Riri, like we're friends, like I'm going to give her a nickname. Or you'll refer to people by their first names, or you'll refer to people's kids as if you know them. Like, we have this sort of relationship that's completely one-sided, but that is a real social concept, right? Like, it's a real thing. We feel it. It's just that it's not reciprocated. But because that feels very similar to our own actual, you know, in real life friendships and relationships, it's easy for us to kind of put our values on people and put expectations on people. And that can be, I think, a lot of pressure.
I mean, you've just described my entire teen and 20-something years of sports fandom. So
Exactly. Fandom is, and I think that's why it's important to think about celebrity, because we think of it as a separate, like, entertainment is this separate, unserious thing. But in fact, sports fandom, political fandom, mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm a big fan of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but that's not our relationship, it's fandom.
No, but it gives you the right, well, or in your mind at least, it gives you the right to ascribe motivations to their behavior, you know? So
yes.
I'm just going to use a sports example because that's the world that I came from. But, you know, you see a guy not running hard down the first baseline. You're like, oh, his knee must be really bugging him. I know he's got that bad knee and he's getting old and et cetera, et cetera. And, like, I have any idea what is going on in this dude's head. But I've just seen them for long enough that I feel like, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Exactly. And we see them more, right?
Yes.
So we see more of people, or actually, I think we feel like we see more of people because we maybe get a little glimpse of their homes or...
Yeah, we see them outside their professional setting now, thanks to social media.
Yes, and it looks very authentic. We don't do a great job just as human beings. I think we don't do a great job of distinguishing between... We think that we can recognize authenticity really easily, but we don't seem to understand that those personas are just as constructed.
Right.
So one example that I always think about is if you're a fan of Beyonce and you're a fan of Rihanna, those two have very different personas. And Beyonce sometimes gets criticism for being very, very buttoned up and very planned and very controlled. And there's this, I think, perception that she's not necessarily authentic. Whereas Rihanna has a more authentic public persona. She has funny facial expressions and you feel like you can see what she's thinking on her face. And there's that really funny gif where a paparazzi asks her a question. She kind of rolls her eyes and rolls up the window. You feel like that is Rihanna. You know Rihanna. But that is just as produced and controlled as Beyonce. It's just a different execution.
So to bring that back to our discussion of mental health in the celebrity world. My devil's advocate question then, I guess, is if they are crafting their narratives and social media is a part of that. And as you mentioned, the Kardashians are fantastic at, you know, giving you glimpses into their life, or at least theoretically giving you glimpses into their life. And you want millions of people to see that and pay for it and consume it. Don't those people have a right to see the bad side and speculate as well? Like, you're selling them something. So where does that line come in?
I mean, for me, the concern is actually less about the impact of that speculation on the celebrities themselves and more the impact of that speculation on like the rest of the people in the world who have bipolar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, celebrities are human beings. And even when they are giving us glimpses in their lives and they're sort of selling us a version of themselves for consumption, and that is a capitalist, you know, thing. Even so, I do think as human beings, they deserve the right to have some privacy and also be sick without being speculated about. Because what we're really talking about is if Kanye West is in the midst of a bipolar episode, then he's not well. And so we should come at that conversation with empathy. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's a way to hold him to account for the racism or sexism that he is espousing, while at the same time being empathetic to the fact that he's not well. That aside, there's a way larger negative repercussion on people who have bipolar or other mental illnesses and who, like, first of all, just how horrible it has to feel to see these words being applied to someone who you have something in common with. And then it's very difficult, I think, to not apply those words to yourself. It also creates an overarching, like, it doesn't help the stigma against mental illness and how difficult it is to get treatment, to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, I spoke to this really lovely writer from BC who also has bipolar, and she was really open about how it feels to have bipolar and how scary it is to not sort of be in control. And there's all of these other long-reaching effects. And so, you know, if you're not so worried about Kanye West's feelings, because Kanye West is a privileged, rich person with lots of, you know, opportunity and privilege, and he probably has access to really great healthcare and all those things, fine. But you should, I think, worry about what impact your words have on, like, the real people that you know. Because we all know real people who are struggling with their mental health, especially right now in a pandemic that is terrible for everyone's mental health. And so that, to me, I think is the bigger takeaway. It's not just, oh, are you saying a mean thing about Kanye? It's, are you saying something that's actually going to impact real people all around the world and, like, make things harder for them?
So how do we change the way we have those discussions? Because the stuff that Kanye's done over the past month is newsworthy, bipolar or not. You know, he's threatening to run for president in an extremely close race. He's saying incredibly offensive things publicly, and he's a public figure. So there's no way the world's going to pass on the chance to report that because he's having a tough time right now. So how do we have these discussions more thoughtfully?
So I would say the first thing is removing some words from your vocabulary. So one concept that maybe you have heard of is this idea of people first language. So instead of saying that person is bipolar or is a schizophrenic or is whatever, in cases of mental health, most communities prefer hearing a person living with bipolar or a person who has bipolar. And the reason for that is so the diagnosis does not supersede their identity as a human being. And it just centers the person, and it's, the illness is a characteristic. It's a part of their life, but it's not all of their lives. And that, I think, helps reduce stigma and is less hurtful in terms of how we talk about people. The other thing is literally just removing the word crazy from your vocabulary. Stop calling people crazy. Don't tell people not to be crazy. Just, that's a bad one. Don't do it. The other thing, I think, is approaching these stories with empathy. So I think it can be very tempting because, especially with Kanye, but probably with all celebrities, it can be very tempting to, it's almost like gotcha, right? Like, oh, you're not as perfect as you portrayed yourself to be, or, you know, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I feel like some of the way that we're talking about Kanye specifically is like he deserves this misfortune. Mm-hmm. And instead, I think we can acknowledge that he can be a jerk, that he can say offensive things, that he definitely should not be president of anything ever. But we can still have empathy when we're thinking about the fact that he's a person with four little kids who, some of them, you know, North is, I think she's 7 or 8. So she's old enough that she's going to see other kids and hear them talking about her dad in a hurtful way. Like, mm-hmm. There's other people in this web. And so we can be empathetic and still be kind about the fact that someone is unwell while still criticizing their behavior.
so we can have this conversation. And I think those are great examples of what we can do, and we can have this conversation. But what are the chances, and how would we even go about trying to change the way that the celebrity industrial complex covers these issues of mental health? Because, like, Kanye West goes on Unhinged Rant is it's a headline that drives clicks and sells National Enquirers, assuming those still sell. But do you know what I mean? Like, there is...
Totally.
There is money to be made by presenting this behavior in a provocative fashion and not in a people-first way.
Totally. So I will say one of the things that I struggled with was how I was going to talk about Kanye on Friday Things. And like on Instagram, I write one newsletter a week, but on Instagram, I post like basically news updates on stories. And I decided that I wasn't going to repost his tweets because I didn't really see the value in it, like presenting it without commenting on it. It just... Nothing about that felt right. And there it felt exploitative to be like, look at this thing that Kanye is saying. But that is an individual, like, yes, Friday Things is, you know, hopefully going to be a media empire one day. But right now it's mostly just me. And that's really a personal choice that I'm making. And I think that's all that we can do. I don't think that we can unmake TMZ, which, like, yes, National Enquirer is probably the, you know, the biggest of the celebrity publications, but TMZ, I would say, is really powerful in the way that it approaches and talks about. And like for TMZ, anything is fair game. I don't think we can change what TMZ is. I think what we can do is have conversations. And like with anything, when we're trying to change behavior, the most effective way of doing that is to have a one-on-one conversation and sort of present your points and say, this is why I'm doing this thing, and lead by example. And that, I think, is going to be more effective from a practical perspective, unless someone wants to give me TMZ, in which case I'll fix it, I swear.
Perfect. I would give it to you if I had
thank
the
you.
Power.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't yet, go to FridayThings.com and subscribe. It's a weekly newsletter. I read it every week. I'm serious. Thanks, Stacey.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan.
That was The Big Story. For more, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You can also talk to us via email, TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, all lowercase, at rci.rogers.com. Find us in your favorite podcast player. Subscribe, rate, review, listen. You know all the stuff by now. Claire Broussard is the lead producer of The Big Story. Ryan Clark and Stephanie Phillips are our associate producers. Annalisa Nielsen is our digital editor. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. It was so good to be back this week. And now I'm taking another holiday. No, I'm just off for Monday. There will be no Big Story on Monday, and we'll talk Tuesday.